History Makers with Matt Prater.
Coming off of drugs, you're going to have emotional problems, but I kept chasing after God.
And he's using this vehicle to bring people out of the dark into the light.
And I went forward and I knelt at the front, and it was a radical conversion experience.
And that's where the big change happened, and that's where we decided we're going to use our music for God, we're going to change our songs.
When I was about 25 years old, I was busted and into jail, and it was there that I came to the Lord.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
Hi, and welcome to History Makers. I'm Matt Prater. Today we're chatting with Josh from Voice of the Martyrs UK. Josh, welcome along, mate. Tell us a bit of your background. Where were you born and raised?
Okay, thanks, Matt. Yeah, it's good to be here with you and have this chance to chat. So I was born in Southampton in the United Kingdom. And that's where I grew up. I grew up in a family with two big brothers, and my mum and dad, a great home, and yeah, good childhood.
Did you have a religious upbringing?
Yeah, well, my parents actually became Christians when I was one. So, that was great. And they took me along to church, and it was a good church. I was kind of like a star student in Sunday school. But I didn't really come to know Jesus until I was 15 on a youth camp that I was on. I went to every year. And this year, I remember I particularly really did not want to go on this youth camp. I just wasn't really interested in church stuff. I still went along. I still, by outward appearances, looked like a good Christian young lad. But I just wasn't interested. And I knew that that week the Lord really spoke to me and drew me to himself and that he wanted me to be his. And that was the first time I'd really known that and responded to him.
Was there a big change in your life?
Yeah, there was. And I suppose I actually had to make some hard decisions then about friendships and things that I spent time doing, and to be much more serious about following the Lord and his will and his heart. And yeah, there was a definite change. Suddenly I had an appetite for reading the word, for wanting to go along to a youth Bible study that before I kind of semi-reluctantly went along to. I really went along because I had a few mates there, but suddenly I wanted to know the Lord and to walk with him and to follow him.
And tell us about what you did after school, and did you study or work?
Yeah, so immediately after school, I went on a gap year to Africa, to Kenya. And again, that was a real kind of life transforming year for me. I think probably it was at that time that I really knew that the Lord wanted to use me for his purposes and would use me. I remember turning up, and I was teaching in a really rural school in Kenya. And at that time, I wasn't at all confident to even speak in front of a group of people. And I thought to myself, what on earth am I doing here? I felt like the Lord just said to me, don't let people look down on you because you're young. And he just enabled me to do everything that I was required to do as kind of the agreement of the year. But more than that as well, by the end of the time, I was able to speak in front of large crusades, and we were seeing people come to faith and so on. So that was really my introduction and heart for mission and being involved with God in his global purposes.
Mm. A lot of similarities with my testimony. I came to faith at a youth camp at 15. And that verse also was one of my biggest encouragements. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but, you know, set an example for the believers and
Amen.
Life and speech and love and faith and purity from 2 Timothy. And, you know, I just remember thinking all my favorite preachers and people that were in ministry were like in their 40s and 50s and whatever, you know. But God said, Matt, I can use you. All you need to do is open your mouth and I'll speak through, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, I also started in ministry at a young age, similar to you. So you're preaching, you're doing all that as a young fella. Tell us about, you know, the next steps after Kenya.
So I was actually due to be going to university to study a degree in sports health and physical education. And that was kind of the track I was on. But this year in Kenya kind of changed the whole direction of my life. So I didn't do that course, and I took a course in youth ministry. It was actually a professional youth work qualification with a theology element of it. And so I did that for 3 years, and part of that was a placement based with a youth project seeking to reach young people in a part of South Wales. And again, it was almost kind of straight into ministry.
And tell us a bit about what that ministry looked like.
Okay, so at that time, young people, teenagers from a quite a difficult estate in the area, basically seeking to befriend them, build relationships with them, be a positive influence in their lives and do what we could to share the gospel. And we saw some respond in faith. It was an encouraging time.
A lot of people would have heard of the Alpha Course and Nikki Gumbel and would know a bit about UK Christianity through the Alpha Course, or maybe through J. John, that other amazing preacher from the UK. Just give us a little update on what's the current state of Christianity in the UK. Is there a lot of falling away, or, you know, a lot of the old churches losing numbers because of you know, the ageing population?
Yeah, that's a pretty difficult question. Obviously, it's very broad. I suppose, on the whole, I would say that things aren't particularly positive, but within that, there are positive stories. Just from my own personal experience in recent months, I know a number of friends who lead growing churches, which is, you know, and actually, it's often those who are more willing to take a clear stand on some of the issues of the day that are growing, and people are drawn to that kind of something a bit more solid in society that's very unstable and so on. So, but generally, I would say the church in the UK is somewhat sleepy, and we pray the Lord would wake us up.
So tell us a bit about the next steps in your ministry.
Obviously, I'm involved with Voice of the Martyrs in the UK. I have a privilege to travel quite extensively throughout Asia. Support partners. Basically, my role is to encourage and cheer on people doing ministry in really hostile and restricted nations. So it's a lot of relationship building, encouragement, praying, pastorally supporting. That occupies kind of most of my working life, and then in my spare time, kind of, I'm also involved in church ministry. I don't know if I mentioned, but I was a pastor of a Baptist church for 9 years, and that came to an end a little while ago before I took up this role with Voice of the Martyrs. But now I'm involved in a kind of church planting ministry, seeking to make disciples, seeking to be catalysts in a disciple-making movement in our little part of the UK. So that's encouraging. We're seeing people with a heart for the Lord and people coming to the Lord and so on. So there are definite encouragements.
So you work full-time for Voice of the Martyrs UK, travel the world, and in your spare time, you've planted a couple of house churches and you're building a movement there, which is so good. It's like the Book of Acts, isn't it, really, you know? So good to hear that. Now, this week, we've heard some amazing speakers from Somalia and Mexico. What's inspired you this week at the conference so far?
Yeah, so I think it's a real joy to be able to meet lots of different people doing similar stuff and with a similar heart from around the world. We had a lady speaker from Mexico who was just really inspiring, just very passionate and in a way simple, but just getting on with serving the Lord wholeheartedly and not ashamed and not holding back and kind of courageously taking the gospel and planting churches. I think she said her and her husband had planted about 500 churches. So, very inspiring and encouraging to hear her and to see her heart and to be spurred on ourselves to greater things in what the Lord has for us.
And the guy from Somalia was amazing. I'd never heard much about how dangerous it is in Somalia.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I realized that my kind of heart for persecuted Christians started in my early 20s. I'm not quite sure why, but I used to carry around in my wallet a little card with three countries on it that I prayed for, and it was North Korea, Somalia, and Vietnam. And I didn't know much about Somalia either. But this brother really shared how difficult and dangerous it is to be a Christian in that context. Some quite horrendous stories of persecution and suffering for those who have become Christians. And he's now involved in a Somali fellowship in the country that he lives, and he's no longer able to live in Somalia. But it was an inspiring testimony, definitely.
It's interesting to hear about the clan mentality in Somalia, that wherever you travel around the world, your clan has got your back. Yeah. And if you're part of a certain clan and you convert to Christianity and leave Islam, then basically you're shunned and you're, you know, public enemy number one from that clan, and then all that clan's against you as well. That was quite heartbreaking to hear, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah. And, yeah, difficult, but the kind of inspiration or the positive side was the kind of the sentiment of wanting to be part of the clan of Jesus.
That's right.
Being
yeah.
part of his family, yeah. and we have one another's back,
yeah.
and so on. So that's a challenge and an encouragement for us.
If only Christians really did have each other's back like that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think one of the things that was kind of heartbreaking about his story was that actually when he went to the church in the country in Europe that he went to, he didn't find that straight away. And that's a challenge for us in the church to truly be that family.
Yeah. And mate, you and I went to the DMZ, the demilitarized zone, with a tour and checked out the border with North Korea and went down a tunnel. And oh man, it was a wild, wild trip. I was quite heartbroken to hear some of the stories of how people are treated in North Korea. What was your takeaways from the trip the other day?
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting experience. I mean, slightly surreal, quite touristy. But I think the takeaway really was the chance to overlook North Korea. Like I said, North Korea was one of those on my card in my wallet. So I've prayed for North Korea for years and years and years. So the chance to see it, albeit in the distance, and to offer a short prayer whilst in there and be reminded of the situation in that country and inspired to keep on praying, asking the Lord to really move in hearts and lives in that country.
I was chatting with one of the guys from Voice of the Martyrs Korea, and they were saying that 20 years ago, the North Korean believers asked for Bibles, and that's been one of their biggest missions, to get the Word of God into there. Yet, if you're found with a Bible in North Korea, you'll be definitely locked up in a concentration camp, possibly lose your life, and your whole family will as well. And for generations, you'll be black marked, you know. Just heartbreaking to hear the way Christians are treated in North Korea. Yet, the North Korean Christians that we've heard of are some of the strongest believers. We really need to learn a lesson from them, don't we?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I know that the VOM Career Group are doing a fantastic job of raising the profile of North Korean Christians, how they're meeting, how they live, their commitment to the scriptures, their desire to live by faith, and so on. And I think there's lots and lots of very valuable and profound lessons. Actually, the leader of VOM Career has written a book. I don't know if you've come across that, called Planting the Underground Church. In fact, that's been quite inspiring for us in what we're doing there in the UK, really going into 12 different principles of what the underground church looks like. And how that's a challenge to us in the West. And so there's a really valuable resource.
Now, there's a couple of scriptures that come to mind when it comes to persecuted believers. One of them is that we pray that God will strengthen those that remain. And the other one is that verse that says that, you know, when one part of the body suffers, every part suffers. Mm-hmm. And I think this has been one thing that's really been highlighted to me, is that certainly we need to be praying. And you know, I know there's prayer lists that you guys send out and prayer requests on, and you've got an app and all that stuff, which is great. But the other side of things of when one part of the body suffers, the other part suffers too, I think in the West, we just don't know enough about what our brothers and sisters are going through. And that's part of Voice of the Martyrs' mission, is to tell the stories. Have you got any stories that you want to share about how we can stand with our brothers and sisters that are going through persecution?
Yeah, well, you'll find lots of resources online, like Matt says, and actually it's not technically part of my role to tell the stories. We've got a wonderful team who do that kind of thing. But obviously I am privileged to meet lots of persecuted believers, and just one kind of comes to mind. I was recently in Sri Lanka, and there was a pastor there and his wife, who came from a kind of mafia background and had a quite dramatic conversion. Him and his wife were planting churches. They'd planted 7 churches in the last kind of 5 years, and in the midst of kind of serious hostility, they were passionately proclaiming the gospel and not holding back. They kind of had testimony. I mean, in Sri Lanka, the hostility is serious, but not extreme. They'd kind of had experiences where their building had been attacked, where 1,000 Buddhist monks had kind of turned up at the entrance of their building to protest and campaign against them. So it's pretty serious, and yet this couple were young and passionate for the Lord. They'd also opened a drug rehab center, and their churches are full of ex-cons as well. So he came from a criminal background, and their churches are full of ex-convicts and people that straight out of prison coming to the Lord. And they'd opened a drug rehab center just down the road, and we were able to visit that. And 27 youngish men, and we went in, and they didn't know we were coming, and they were just all knelt worshipping the Lord. Yeah. And that was just profound and powerful and inspiring as well. It's impossible to not have a real encounter with persecuted Christians and not be both humbled and inspired and challenged to go on in our own walk with the Lord.
Well, mate, I've heard a few stories from you on this trip, and every time I hear you share them, I'm inspired.